Today is actually the third day of our CLC, the third day, first section of our CLC. So we begin to close down and round up on a whole lot of what we have started. Hallelujah. The next section after this will just be more or less like a closing remark. So we'll begin to round up in this section and then we'll just round up this CLC. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He says, go make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Say, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. He says, go make disciples. And we began looking at that word disciples, right? And we said that word disciples shows us that a man, when he gets born again, becomes a student. Even if the man is a professor of any discipline. Are you following me? So, the moment that man gets born again, hallelujah, the moment that man gets born again, he becomes a student. So, in Christ, we are all students. I am there. And then we look at the fact that what do we have in the background when you get discipled? What do you have in the background when you get discipleship? What you have in the background is the local church. Are you following me? What you have in the background becomes the local church. The local church becomes what you have in the background. And that shows us that the church is where, or we say the church is like a Bible school, right? It's like a Bible school. Not a Sunday school, a Bible school. I know where we are taught and trained. And we saw that the end point of that of the teaching of the word is for spiritual groups. So that means the teaching of the word is to bring forth spiritual groups, right? Where? In the local church. Very important. So you cannot separate spiritual groups outside you, or you cannot get spiritual groups outside the local church. Then I can separate spiritual groups from the local church. Are you following me? Are you hearing me? So I said, when a local assembly begins to drive his bishop, let me put it that way, begins to lose sight of teaching and raising them via the teaching of God's word, he's chasing, that local church is chasing a personal bishop and not the bishop of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, go raise disciples. We call it the Great Commission. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we began looking at that phrase when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, right? I will saw what he meant when he said heaven and earth. We saw what it meant, right? Heaven and earth. It means all authority, the authority is in the believer. But when he uses the word, that phrase heaven and earth is a shorthand for the man in Christ. Hallelujah. We saw that all through scripture from Genesis down into the New Testament. Hallelujah. So we saw that the authority is vested in the believer. Heaven and earth, as we've seen, will be what? God's creation. What is heaven and earth? Heaven and earth is what God made. What did God make? Heaven and earth. Very simple. How? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1. The heaven and the earth. Now, so, what did Moses write? Moses write for you to see that God's creation is heaven and earth. Did you see that? Are you following that? God is God's creation, heaven and earth. So when he goes to verse 2 and says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, Moses writes again. He has written to you. He wrote and he says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He shows you heaven and the earth.
Then in verse 2, he now comes and writes, and the earth was without form and void. It is and the heaven and earth was without form and void. He shows you the earth without the heaven is void, nor without form and void. Do you get me now? That is tohu bohu. Hallelujah. And we saw that that earth was referring to in verse 2 is the activity of men outside the spirit. Hallelujah. So let's move up a bit. So we've seen that what heaven and earth will be what? The new creation. Right? Right? Remember, something that you must not lose sight of was what Jesus gave. Jesus gives us a clue to interpreting scriptures. Not even a clue. It tells us how scriptures are interpreted. John 5:39. Make sure you have that around you when you are looking at scriptures. John 5:39, you search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. But these are they who testify of me, but you will not come to me. Right? He's talking to the Pharisees. I say you will not come to me. It means you will not come to the conclusion of the scriptures concerning me. Hallelujah. In verse 45, he says, do not think I will accuse you before the Father. There's one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Say, if you have believed Moses, you have believed me. Say, for he wrote concerning me. Meaning Moses' writing was concerning Christ. So when Moses begins to write Genesis 1:1, he's writing, remember who said the audience of Moses will be where? The children of Israel when they've left Egypt. Are you hearing me? So that is his audience when he was writing Genesis. Are you following me? So if you followed our teaching last year, when we were teaching about the promised land, you first of all see that when Moses went to meet Pharaoh, you know, it's not like what we sing in school. God sent Moses to Pharaoh and said, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. Hallelujah. Did you understand me? Go let my people go. That was not in Minnesota. What did God send Moses to go and tell Pharaoh? Say, go down to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. No. That was not the message. What was the message to Pharaoh? The message to Pharaoh was the message of God's salvation in Christ Jesus. Are you ready? We saw that. And we saw that it was not God who hardened Pharaoh's heart. Did we say something around that yesterday? Something related to that yesterday. Not concerning Pharaoh, but concerning when the word God said is used most times in scripture. It's not necessarily it was God. We saw something that Moses said God would totally kill, destroy the Amalekites. And we saw, look at scripture. Who actually destroyed the Amalekites? The Israelites. Was it God? No. You understand? So we look at something and we said, heaven will be where? Heart of man, right? Right? Did you see all those things? So, now, if I now say, and God spoke to Moses on heaven, I'm looking at the skies, am I different from the unbelieving man? Are you following me? So, there are a whole lot of things you now begin to see. You know, it's very good when you're, what we are doing is that we are realigning your foundation to Bible study again. Then you begin to see scriptures rightly. Are you following me? You begin to see scriptures rightly. So when you now say God having fellows heart, you don't know, no, it can't be God. Hallelujah. God cannot harden his heart. That word hardened, when you look at it in the Hebrew, is the word that is used for stiff-necked, used for unbelief. Oh, so can you not say it is God that made Pharaoh unbelieving? No. In fact, if you read Moses very well, listen, when God spoke to Moses and said, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, you must understand what was Moses communicating. Right? You will discover the inactivity of God that is counted for God's activity. Are you hearing me? Just like when they said, God said he will destroy the Amalekites. Or somebody speaking ahead of time. This is what will happen. Moses had to be hardened. And you just say something like, thus said the Lord, the heart of Moses or Pharaoh will be hardened. Do you understand? Are you following that? So it's inactivity of God and it's coming for his activity. And so we begin to look at that. We begin to slide into those things in the next way. 8 years and above. But you are having foundation for today. Hallelujah. So we are laying the foundation so that when we get there, we say, oh, it will be easy sailing. Are you hearing me? It will be what? Easy sailing. Amen. But we see that there's no bother having for you. Because if you now read the account when Moses began to write, you now see where Moses goes, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. When you see God hardened Pharaoh's heart, was a prophecy ahead of time. God will harden the heart of Pharaoh. But when we get there, that's what, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. That is unbelief. You can only harden your heart towards a message. And what was the message? Of God's salvation in Christ Jesus. And that was why when Moses asked, who will I tell them sent me? He said, tell him what the God of Israel has sent you. Hallelujah. Then what will be the message? Tell him, I am that I am. That word, I am that I am, is the total message of the gospel. That's the total message of the gospel, which is not the word I am that I am. It's the word that means I will become a man. That's the word I am that I am. I will become a man. And that was why they got angry with Jesus when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. That word is reserved for God alone. I said, I can't say before Abraham was, you are. I just said, you are Yahweh. I said, yes, that is just what he's trying to say. I am that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. You know, he just always said, I am the way. You don't use that word. That word is strong. That word is for God. It's reserved for deity. And Jesus is using it. I am. Meaning, I am the reincarnation, the reincarnated one that Moses spoke about to Pharaoh and the children of Israel. Are you following that? Amen. Amen. Are we going further? Glory to God. So, what will Moses be writing about? Christ. If you have believed Moses, you have believed me, for he wrote concerning me. Luke 24:25, they said, oh, fool, slow about to believe. You know, the prophet has spoken. He said, I'm not the Christ to have suffered this thing and to enter into his glory. He said, beginning at Moses. Jesus is teaching, and he said, beginning at Moses. Genesis. And all the scriptures, Malachi, he expounded unto them the things concerning him. And all the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. So, meaning Jesus will teach Genesis to Malachi, he will teach the things concerning himself. Meaning what they wrote about central was concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Paul will now give a summary in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. It says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Do you see that? According to the scripture will mean what? The explanation of the scripture, you find the death of Christ. He was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. Meaning, the totality of what the scriptures entail is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. So let's begin to close down on some things. So we say Moses has written to us that God's creation is heaven and earth, and we say we find it in Christ, which is concerning the new creation, right? Let's look at what he now said in verse 26. Genesis 1:26. Are you following me? Genesis 1:26. He says, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Then God made Adam. Now he said, let us make man in our own image. So, what is God's creation? Heaven and earth. What is God's creation? Man in his image. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at that. Would that, if this is God's creation again, are you following me? So, remember, Moses is writing and telling them, he's using what they know as history, right? What they know as history to teach what? Salvation in Christ. Moses is not writing salvation. I mean, he's not writing history. He's writing salvation in Christ. So, he gets to verse 6. And I said, let us make man in our image. We did the same with Genesis 1:1. Don't just say yeah because let me know what. Let me throw a guess. We did the same with Genesis 1:1. It will. Man in God's image will be Genesis 1:1, will be heaven and earth. Let's see that. Let's go. When God says, let's make man in our image, let's see what is God's image. Abi, what is God's image? I will say what explains the Old Testament. The epistles. So let's rush down to the epistles where we were yesterday. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember, we said this is Paul writing, explaining Genesis 1. 2 Corinthians 4. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. So let's see how Paul explains it to us. 2 Corinthians 4. Are you there? Verse 3. Talk of verse 2. But we renounce the hidden renounce the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is vague, it is faith to those who are perishing. Verse 3, 4. Whom the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, which is the glory of Christ. The light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Do you see what it calls the image of God? What does it call the image of God? No. No. Lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. He singles it on Christ. It calls Christ the image of God. Hallelujah. That word image is the word that means before we get there. So what does it call the image of God? Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. So he calls Christ the image of God. Hebrews 1. The writer of Hebrews. Look at what he said. Before we look at Paul again. Or let's be done with Paul. Before we look at Hebrews. Right? Look at Romans 8. Before we go down to the writer of Hebrews. Let's be done with Paul. Romans 8. Verse 29. Romans 8, 29. Hallelujah. Romans 8:29, right? Therefore, whom God foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. To be conformed to the image of the what? Son. Do you see that? For whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So he uses, what does he call the image of God there? He uses image for the Son. Do you understand? Which is Christ. He's referring to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He was referring to Christ. That's why he calls him the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. In Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Are you there? Verse 14. That in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Say, for by him all things were created, that are in heaven, are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So who does he call the image? Yeah? Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Are you following that? Look at Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews. Let's rush down to Hebrews. Chapter 1. I'll start from verse 1. See, God
who at sundry times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the world. Talking about Christ, verse 3, whom being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. So who does he call the express image? Christ is the express image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this writer, Paul, and the writer of Hebrews pointed who are the image of God. Christ and the image of God. When they write and they call image, what are they explaining? They are your mind. What you have as scripture will be what? Genesis 1. The image of God. Are you following me? I want to pause a bit. There are two more scriptures I have to show you. Before I show you one, look at what Jesus said. They came to meet Jesus and they asked him. They said, should we pay tax to Caesar? Now that is a very dicey question. Because number one is that, let me tell you why it's a dicey question. The Jews believe they shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar. I hear you. In their head, they believe they should pay tax because pay tax to Caesar means that we are slaves. Do you understand? So they charge what they can to evade tax. Do you understand? Now, and that is why they will call somebody like Zacchaeus, Matthew, they call them tax collectors. They are sinners, thieves. I don't have to call the sector we have in Nigeria that will say like that. Hallelujah. Because I believe this message will go worldwide soon. Hallelujah. Amen. So, they see them as thieves. Remember, part of the thing they used to talk against Jesus that he was dining with tax collectors. Do you understand? So they came, should we pay our tax to Caesar? And the moment you say, yes, pay your tax, they say, he's not a true Jew. Let me follow you. Eh? The moment you say, don't pay your tax to Caesar, you're going to report it to Caesar because Caesar is called Lord. Or they report it to Caesar is high treason. You'll be killed. You understand? So it's dicey. The truth pay our tax to Caesar. So you just ask someone, have you been cured of any HIV? Yeah, you can say yes or no. If you say yes, then you had it. If you say no, then you don't want to allow to give testimony. I used to have HIV. Not everybody here will clear it. You forget the faith you have. Hallelujah. Don't say, I'm just giving you an example. Hallelujah. So, now, quickly, they now ask Jesus, should we give tax, pay tax to Caesar? What did he say? He now asks them with wisdom. He said, whose image do you have on the moon? Do you see that? And they said what? When he asked them, whose image do you have? A good Bible student will quickly go to there. Genesis 1:26. Image. He's bringing, he's about to teach them a vital truth. Remember, Jesus will not be quoting, Jesus will be teaching. Do you understand? And he says, Caesar. He said, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and give to God that which belongs to God. He didn't ask him about God. Are you following me? Did he ask him about God? No. But all of Jesus' speech in scripture is an explanation of Old Testament scriptures. So when he said, give to Caesar, remember Caesar is called Lord. We're getting someone, I need to see this. Caesar is called Lord. And he said, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Give to God that belongs to God. What did they do? They left. Why did they leave? Because he brings about a vital truth for Moses. I didn't know.
So when he said, give to Caesar that will belong to God. First of all, he robbed them in by saying, whose image do you have? Now he said, give to Caesar that will belong to Caesar. Meaning, what belongs to the Lord is what? Your heart. To give to God that which belongs to God, which is your heart. Are you following me? That will belong to God is your heart. So that will belong to Caesar. Give it to Caesar. So what belongs to God is the heart of man. Are you following? A very vital law in Moses' commandment. In the Ten Commandment, it was, you shall not make for yourself a graven image. Exodus 20. The moment God speaks to them and says, you shall not make for yourself an image, what comes to mind? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He said, so you shall not make for yourself another Lord. So when Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, meaning, know the difference. Are you hearing me? Caesar is a Lord. And that is why they always frown when they hear them call Jesus Lord. Are you hearing me? Because they should only have one Lord, Caesar. So God will not write and tell them, or God will not speak to them and say, you shall not make for yourself a graven image, meaning you shall not, meaning the incarnation, you should not represent it with any image. Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God. The moment they began to carve for themselves a golden calf, what happened? What did God tell Moses from the mountain? So go down. Right? That is discharging from up the mountain. Why? Because they are already breaking the commandment. You shall have for yourself no other God. An image. Do you understand me? Christ is not represented in an image. Amen. Amen. Now I told you something about the heart of the ordinary man yesterday. I said, it always does what? I said something like that. Always wants to see, feel, touch. Wants to worship what he can see, feel, touch. Did I not say that yesterday? I did. Hallelujah. I listen to myself when I teach. Amen. 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 So God's image will be what? Christ. So when God said, let us make man in our image, listen, let us make man in our image, listen, God, that would be, Genesis 1:26 would be God canvassing redemption in Christ. So God's plan is for man to be in Christ. Let us make man in our image. Are you following that? Are you following that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So verse 27 will not be, this will be the reality of man in the image of God. It is when man is in the image of God, man will have dominion. And he said he made them how? In verse 27. Male and female. What is Moses writing for you here to see? What is Moses writing for you to see? Because when he was writing, were there no male and female in the wilderness? They were. Are you hearing me? They were. So Moses is writing for you to see that male and female will be found in Christ. He's writing that for a reason, because the female gender were being looked down on. In the camp, in Israel, they treat female gender like trash. Do you understand me? So he writes and says, in Christ, you will find both the male and you find the female in Christ. He's telling them of our unity in Christ. And Paul will now look at that. What Moses has written, Paul will now write on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he will now say, there is neither male nor female. Bound nor free. Did you see that? You see where he's writing from? They are all writing from Moses. Are you seeing that? In Christ there's neither male nor female. Moses has said it. He created them male and female. So meaning in that image, in the icon, in the image of God, you find male and female. Are you following me? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. We've explained this now. I will keep explaining it. We explained it before. We keep explaining it. Amen. Are you hearing it for the first time? Eh? Amen. Yes, sir. That is how it's supposed to be, though. Hallelujah. But it's not the first time we're teaching this. Amen. You see why you must keep attending this thing? Because now it's now clearer. If you can pick up some messages and I've explained it, oh, now you now you feel like, Lord, how did you say this one? Where? No, I know better. Amen. But that's how we did. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So very important. So where's where Paul now writes from? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13. Quickly. So that you will see how, so that you understand, and these are explanations. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, he said, for in one spirit we've all been baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink of one spirit. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 also. Colossians 3, 11. Paul is writing. Chapter 3, verse 11. He said, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or slaves or free, for Christ is all and in all. Did you see that? Hallelujah. It shows the oneness we have in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in the days of Moses, women were treated as slaves. You understand me? And he said, no, in Christ you find all of them. In Christ. Are you following me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, when the verse says this, let me give you this. So when he now tells a man, when he now drives and now gets to, I will help make him and help me, he tries to rework the mindset of the guys in the camp, and say, I will make him and help him. I use the word Ezar. Now, the word Ezar, listen, he's writing, say, Ezar means a savior. You know what I mean? Ezar is a savior. Are you hearing me? Now, he said, I'll make him and help me. He's not talking about I'll make you a wife. But Moses now put a woman. Why would he write the Ezar as a woman to make them know that that is not a weak gender? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ziggy Daddy. Amen. Amen. Years down the line, you will begin to understand this. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, what is God's plan from the beginning? God's plan from the beginning. When he said, let's make man our image, has always been for man to be in Christ, heaven and earth together. Did you see that? Heaven and earth together. The new earth. Remember, heaven will not mean the place where people go when they die. There's got nothing to do with that, but in the end, that's on the scripture. Hallelujah. So if the scriptures nullifies my theology, I will throw away that theology. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, God's plan is as always be the new creation, God in man, the indwelling, heaven and earth in one place. Have you? We've just seen it. So when God said, let's make man in our image, he said, for man to be in Christ. The same thing with heaven and earth. Hallelujah. So let's go back to Matthew 28. That's it.
This is just an introduction. We just started to this.
Matthew 28. Let us make...
Matthew 28, let us make.
Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Will that be in a new creation now? Right? So when you use that word authority, the Greek word exousia. Exousia. And when it says authority, when it says all authority, now this is where we need to look at it critically. All authority. He is not saying every kind of authority. He's not saying every kind of power in the end. Are you following me? When I say all authority does not mean I have been given all every kind of authority and power in the earth. No, people use that. So all authority belongs to God.
All authority to him in Christ loves the Son.
And love mother the Son of God.
But thank God. All the glory.
When I say all authority has got nothing to do with what? Every power in the earth. Then I'm going to break this teaching into two because of time. Hallelujah. Does not mean all every power in the earth. No. When we read the word all, I told us in the course of this CRC, we must read all in what? In context. Right? In context. For example, in Philippians 4:13, when Paul said, I can just open to Philippians 4:13. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you read, I can do everything. You know, some people say, what is all? I thought that before, so I know it's better. What is all? All means everything with the exception of nothing. What is all? All things means everything with the exception of nothing. It means I can do everything with the exception of nothing. Go and see. Go and run police station. Go and bomb the attitude. Go and steal for later. Let them catch you. She said you can do everything. No. Hallelujah. All must be read in context. Hallelujah. Must be read in context. When he said, I can do all things through Christ, he isn't saying you can do everything in the world. That would be wrong. Hallelujah. It would be wrong. Paul isn't saying you can do everything. You can pick up every job. I can do all things. Through Christ. I know. When I heard that, I can do all things. One day. You should have turned to me. Every little preacher. You can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do good things. You can't do it now. Yeah. But we can do it. But we can do all things. Oh my God. Oh my God. Imagine the man of God, what are you trying to say? Okay, calm down. You enter a plane. Listen. You enter a plane. You want to fly. And you just heard a voice from the cockpit. Boeing 2-3-3 from Colonel. About to take off, about to land. I'm your pilot, and my name is Mark. Don't worry, you don't need to be afraid. We are on our way to Jobs. I don't know the way, but I have the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring for 15 years. Don't need to worry. We'll just speak in tongues and we'll get to jobs. I trust God. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've never been to aviation school, but I believe God. We'll get to jobs. We'll still be inside our flight. We'll still be inside our flight. You will run, right? When you even remember Susurisu, you will run. Hallelujah. Why will you run? Because you don't want to die. Well, I thought you used to say, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all this. I think someone before he went for an interview. In fact, I interviewed him. He said, how much targets can you? He said, I can be any target in the US. He can do 10 million per month. I don't need to give me 20 million, I can do. When I employed him, I gave him a target of 6 million. Before I left that place for about 8 months, the person did not even do up to 2 million. I don't think I can do all this. Are you following me? So, it's not every all things you can do. When he says, I can do all things, he's not talking about everything. You have to read in context. And when he says, if you read in context, you have to read verse 11, verse 12 of that Philippians chapter 4. You see the all things you can do. So I know how to be at peace. He's talking about he knows how to contain himself. So I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you following me? So you must learn to read all things in context. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 3:21, Paul says, all things are yours. You know you will be criminal, but you don't say everything is yours. I have a brother then. I use the word then because he has gone to be with the Lord. He has gone to be with the Lord. A wonderful brother. Whenever he comes, sometimes he comes to my house and my CD. I used to buy CDs. I love CDs. Listen to me, CDs. Different music. He comes to my house. I have a place where I drop all my CDs. Different messages. I listen to messages. That's why I trained myself to listen to messages for hours. Listen to messages. I listen to messages upon messages upon messages. There are two things you'll find there within my life. You'll find two things. If you are not seeing messages around you, get at the house on the table, you don't see messages. You will see reggae music. You find those two things around you. You don't know me there anymore. But you see messages more. So, no. I'm not telling you there's any secret to any anointing there. Hey, now that you are pastor, pastor needs to listen to you. Go and listen to that. Hallelujah. So, but listen. So, this one, whenever he comes, my books used to miss. My CDs used to miss. Wonderful brother. How did that? Oh, Jerry, how far? You carry my book, you say, how you not tell me? All things are mine. If you come back and say, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, all things are mine. It's scriptural. I'm just looking at it. Okay. So, he was doing this for me. I was doing it for one of my friends who told me. When I saw how Tune began to do his own thing, Tune began to hide his things. He's so lucky that I have to learn these things. Hallelujah. Yeah, if I'm going to say all things are yours, I don't know if they will go for interview. They will go downstairs and they will be claiming the organization. All things are mine. This MD is mine. This organization is mine. It's mine. Oga. It's not faith proclamation. You are not confessing faith. Hallelujah. It's criminal. For you to say all things, everything, in the rest of everything in the world is yours. If everything is in the world is yours, walk from here or take a flight to Washington, D.C. Get to White House and sit on Donald Trump's chair and say, all things are mine. Say, Donald Trump, you White House is mine. If my White House is super, go to Asura and say, the presidential chair is mine. The Lord sent, I saw it in the vision. I'll be president of Nigeria. And you walk into Asura. Don't worry. You will not walk out. You'll be bundled out. Not bundled out normal. Maybe bundled out in your coffin. Yes, now. Hallelujah. What Paul is saying, he expects you to read in context to know what he's referring to as what all things are yours. So if you read verse 22 to 23, he was referring to the fact that the apostles and the ministry gifts are given for your sake. That is the all things are yours. Meaning the ministry gifts are yours. Referring to the apostles. The apostles are yours. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. The apostles are yours. Hallelujah. So if we understand this fact, I'll have to read in context. Then we'll get back to Matthew 28. And Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So that means Jesus wasn't referring to government powers. I have the power to go and, you know, I'll go and compete election and I'll win. Sure. Go and win now. Do you understand? You don't have such authority. Jesus wasn't referring to governmental powers. Hallelujah. If tomorrow we have, it can never happen. Vision, revelation, any vision. I will treat and pray. We have to say, what impacts people's party? You'll be surprised. Only your church member now will vote. You don't know. The church member will vote. Yeah, because there's a vision from the Lord that all of us have given to the church. So we should go and become president. Maybe it's Pastor Kobe that will become the president. Pastor Garuba, maybe minister for what? Glory to God. You know, Pastor Kobe looks like a politician.
I didn't say anything. Hallelujah.
Even. So, Jesus wasn't referring to governmental power. Jesus never meant all kinds of power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if he had said all power, then that means he would have been saying, he wasn't even referring to power of darkness. No. Look at Luke 22 verse 53. Luke 22 53, quickly. Because from the four gospels, we saw that there is something called the power of darkness. And Jesus wasn't referring to that. They can't be saying all power, meaning every kind of power. Luke 22:53. This is Jesus saying. He says, when I was with you, this was before he was crucified. When I was with you daily in the temple, did you not try to seize me? He was talking to them. He said, when I was with you in the temple, didn't you try to seize me? But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Did you see that? He calls it the power of darkness. The kingdom of darkness. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, the Bible makes us see that there is something called the kingdom of darkness. This implies the power operating those who do not believe. Now he said, this is your eye. He was referring to people looking to see him. And he calls them the kingdom of darkness. The power of darkness. Meaning this power operates in people who do not believe. 2 Corinthians 4:2-4. Right? Oh, the God of this world has blinded their heart. The mind of them who do not believe. Hallelujah. Call it the God of this world. Right? Right? In Ephesians 2:1-2, we also saw this same power. We saw that yesterday too, right? Right? The power of darkness. In Luke 4:6-7. Luke 4:6-7. We saw the kingdom of the devil. Look at verse 6. It says, and the devil said to him, All this authority I will give you and their glory, for they have been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is the kingdom of the devil, and the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 2:8. So there's the kingdom of darkness that operates in the man who does not believe. And the owner of that authority or that kingdom is called the devil. Are you following that?
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 2:8. I also put the 1 Corinthians 2:8. Ephesians 2:2.
It says, whom you want to walk according to the course of his authority. To the rulers of
the Spirit that now work in the children of disobedience. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:8 quickly. Are you there? He said, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they have known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. He called it none of the rulers of this age knew. Hallelujah. The rulers of this world. Who was he referring to as the rulers of this world? We'll get to see. Hallelujah. He is referring to those who killed Jesus. Hallelujah. Call them the rulers of this age. Hallelujah. The rulers of this world. So, Paul, just like Jesus. I want to take note of that because this is Paul speaking. Just like Jesus. Jesus will refer to man as having the man who doesn't believe as having what? The kingdom of darkness. And I want you to follow me closely. Jesus and Paul talks about resistance to the gospel. And they call it a government in the heart of men who do not believe. Calls it a kingdom in the heart of men who do not believe. Jesus and Paul talks about resistance to the gospel. And they call it a government in the heart of men who do not believe. So that resistance to the gospel calls it a government in the heart of men who do not believe. Hallelujah. Call it the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Call it the authority, the power of darkness. So what authority is he talking about in Matthew 28:18? What authority is Jesus referring to here? What authority is he referring to here in Matthew 28:18-20? He said, all authority. Look at verse 19. It says, go make disciples. 20, teaching them to observe all what I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Even to the end of the age. Make disciples even to the end of the age. So the authority he's referring to here is the authority of salvation. Or it is all authority. In the written context, it is referring to the authority of salvation. Hallelujah. To teach and to raise disciples. To teach and to raise disciples. It is all authority is the authority of salvation. Authority to raise disciples. So this authority is exercised when we carry out teaching and raising disciples. When we carry out teaching and raising disciples. When we carry out teaching and raising disciples. In exercising the preaching of the gospel, the authority of Christ is exercising the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we say something about what baffles the heart of people. That should be the first day. That what baffles the heart of people is what? They were looking for. God is going to come and fight Caesar and deal with Caesar and give them one beat. Now restore Israel. They will not be the world power. Or what they were expecting as the Messiah. But the greatest surprise. The Messiah was born in the manger. The greatest surprise. The Messiah, who is supposed to be God, I will deal with the Lord called Caesar. They are waiting for the fight between Avatar and Lord Uzi. They are looking out for that fight, and all of a sudden, they didn't see Anne, they didn't see Cora. But they saw Uzi. But they saw the fact that the Lord was killed by men. The King of Glory died in the hands of sinful men. The King of Glory was flogged by sinful men. Oh, it beat them. No, it can't beat the Lord. Why is it the Lord? Because they felt his authority will be the authority to destroy the authority of Caesar and to establish another new Jerusalem. But they missed it. Because Jesus said, my authority, my kingdom is not of this world. They missed it there. Hallelujah. So some people see kind of mindset today. We talk about the authority of Christ. Now think about, that's what comes to their head. Is the primitive gods that they worship in their name. That's what comes to their head. They're looking out for the authority of Christ and they're looking out for how there isn't more use to use stamps. What they're looking out for is the authority of God that wants someone to just come out and in the night, street lights will be shutting down because the authority of God has shown. No, the authority. You see, the things of the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. It will help a whole lot of your theology. The principles, or the things of the kingdom of God, are not found in extraordinary things. No. They are found in simple things that men take their eyes off. Just like, simple daily devotion. Just like prayer. Just like just pray. Just like having, just studying, reading. God speaks to you as you read the scriptures. Simple things. The power of God is revealed in those simple things. Just obey. Just obey. Yes. Someone was asking me, sir, how have you become so relevant in ministry all these years? So relevant to me that I said, sir, young guy like that, I said, sir, I just pray and study. Right? Pray and study. I just make sure I keep praying and studying. So he was looking at me. You have to go and do one job, who laid hands on you? How to tap into this new sacrament? Okay? There's nothing in all this nonsense. It's just simple devotion. Simple devotion. Hallelujah. Simple. So the authority of Christ is just in preaching the gospel. It's exercising the preaching of gospel. When you preach the gospel, a man gets saved. The Bible says the man is translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his destiny. Jesus said there is joy in heaven. Now, when you have, okay, now let me hit you. Oh my goodness. When you have, there is joy in heaven, why is not that rejoice? Who makes the joy? Is it angels? No. I want you to get that. Is it angels? No. Where is the heaven of God? So when you say there is joy in heaven, over a sinner who repents. So where is the joy coming from? Jesus now explained it in that same act. Jesus without joy said the Spirit. So that joy is expressed by me. Are you following that? Why do you rejoice? Rejoice for eternal truth. Rejoice that names of men are written in heaven. Right? Right? And Jesus now showed them, saying that same power, he rejoiced. So when a man gets saved, you rejoice. That is the joy of heaven. Are you following that? Simple things. Right now, do you know what just happened? As you just give your life to you. As you just receive the gospel, as you are born, you know what happened. And your mind is blowing one trumpet now. And you're really here, and you're dancing as you do. That joy is expressed from you. Hallelujah. Because why? You delivered someone from the kingdom, the bondage, the rule, the dominion of Satan. And that one is in the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. That is where the power of God is displayed. Hallelujah. Always take note of when I begin to teach you and I don't change it like this. This is the main point. You must not lose it. Hallelujah. Never get to that point where you lead someone to Christ. A person born again, say, bro, are you happy that that guy? As someone answers you, how many souls did you win today?
Just won 3 souls.
He said, you won 3? I told you, you won 3? In your head, you're not feeling like Buzina that
what is 3? 3 is just common. I just won 3 souls.
What is there? There's nothing there.
No!
Don't downplay it. You won a soul, you should rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because someone just left the hold of darkness. Someone just left the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. See, let me tell you something about the believer. Once a believer is saved, once a man is saved, he has been chastened of the kingdom of darkness. He can never go back there again. He can never go back there again. Nothing can get him entrapped in darkness again. Hallelujah. So you should rejoice. So that's why Jesus made you see there's joy in heaven over a sinner who repents. So never downplay it. You want a soul. Never say, is it today? No! Never say that when it comes to soul winning. Paul will say in Romans chapter 1, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God. So in the weighing of the gospel is the demonstration of God's power. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Let's begin to round up. Let's run up. Let's run up. So I will preach the gospel. In the next session, I'll just say one or two things and then we'll close.
Understand?
The preaching of the gospel is where the power of God is demonstrated. The power of God is demonstrated when I preach the gospel. So, are you hearing me? So I will preach the gospel. I will preach the gospel. You know, it's my resolve to see men saved, to see disciples raised. It doesn't stop in you leading them to Christ. No. It goes beyond that. You begin to disciple. Are you hearing me? You begin to disciple them. It is Jesus in all the nations of the world. It is Jesus in all the nations of the world. Let that take the first priority of your life. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in the believer. Where is the authority of Christ? In the believer. And that authority is for the preaching of the gospel. Primarily for the preaching of the gospel. So God has entrusted his eternal plan. When God said in Genesis 1:26, he said, let's make man in our image after our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea. When he said, don't dominion, in chapter 7, 27, he said the same thing. What do you think he's talking about? He tells man, be fruitful and multiply. He was not telling Adam to be fruitful and multiply. Adam only had a ministry. Adam and Eve. They gave birth to Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Are you hearing me? Cain killed Abel. Is that multiplying? No. No. Cain killed Abel. They gave birth to Seth. Seth gave birth to Enos. You see that? Are they multiplying? No. That's what the multiplication is talking about. Hallelujah. He visits Abraham and tells Abraham, I'll make your descendants, your seed, like the sands in the seashore. Say, look at the sky. How many stars can you see? As far as the eyes can see, I've given them to you for inheritance. Abraham, that God makes you see that you're not talking about physical descendants. If Abraham gave birth to how many two children, Abraham gave birth to Ishmael and Isaac. Do you see that? Are you hearing me? I thought his descendants would be like this, like the seashore. He gets to Jacob. Now, from Ishmael and Isaac, God chose Isaac. He told Isaac the same thing. I'll make that descendants great. Isaac gave birth to two. Esau and Jacob. Are you hearing me? It was Jacob, not Esau. He went to Jacob. And gave the same promise to Jacob. I will make their descendant great. Jacob gave birth to 12. Out of the 12 children, he picked Joseph. And Joseph gave birth to 2. Ephraim and Manasseh. Are you following the way it's going? Where's the multiplication? What is it filling the earth? God makes you see that the multiplication and filling the earth is not in physical descendants. No one talks spoke about the promised land. It's the same promise. The filling the earth, the multiplication is not in numbers, it's not in amount of children. Somebody said, I'll give it to as many as God wants me to give it. As a man who doesn't need to give it. He said, if God says I should stop, I will stop. We have seen the result of that today, the majority. We've seen the result of that today. Hallelujah. No, God is, that is, you are mistaking it. Hallelujah. When having children can a woman bear in her womb, science has proven it. Woman cannot go beyond 11 children at max in all her lifetime. Is that multiplication? Is that filling the earth? So the multiplication and the filling the earth is not in childbearing. The multiplication and the filling the earth is about the gospel, the winning of souls. When Jesus said, go make disciples, Jesus is reading from Genesis 1:26. Multiply and fill the earth. So we multiply and we fill the earth in the preaching of the gospel. Have you been blessed today? Be on your feet and let's thank Him. Just thank Him. Just worship Him.